Hey, Kevin, it's Kelly Moore from CJOB.
Hi,
congratulations,
Kelly.
On the deal. Maybe if you could give us kind of the Coles Notes version of how all this unfolded to get to today.
Well, thanks very much, Kelly. It's obviously it's an exciting day for our franchise, and it's one of those days where you're going to look back and I think realize the importance of this, and certainly the commitment that we've made to Blake, but the commitment that Blake has made to this franchise and to the community as well. And it really all kind of started at the end of the season last year. Blake and I went out for a coffee, and we had kind of our year-end meeting just with regards to the team in general, and talked about the future and talked about the fact that if there was a way to make a deal work, that he would love to sign an extension with the Jets. And obviously, we had a busy summer and still some work to get done. And so we appreciate everyone's patience, including Blake's, in getting this deal done.
Does this deal, Kevin, have any bearing whatsoever on the talks that you've had with Josh Morrissey with respect to whether it would be a bridge or a long-term deal?
So I'm not going to get into any negotiations on any particular players or what it does or doesn't mean. But, let's face it, we're in a cap world here, and it's, the cap is basically a zero-sum type of game. So, we've got some work to get done, and we'll get that done in short order.
Kevin, Mike McIntyre from the Winnipeg Free Press. Can you just maybe take us through how you arrived at the 5-year number and the AAV here? Was that something, was there a lot of give and take on both sides, or was 5 years maybe what you were looking at all along?
We had actually numerous discussions over the course of the period of time that we talked about different terms, different lengths, different opportunities. You know, as in any negotiation, you try to find, where the sweet spots might be and try to work towards, something that works for both sides. So, again, these type of deals don't get done over a cup of coffee. They're very detailed, very intricate, and it's been an ongoing process all summer.
Is in the end, though, is this a term and that you're comfortable with and you feel will give you that flexibility that you'll need in the years going forward?
I think both sides are very comfortable with the term, and certainly, when you're dealing in the world that we're dealing in, you never know what's out in front of you as things change with the cap and certain parameters along those. But we feel very comfortable and very excited about this deal.
Kevin, Judy Owen from the Canadian Press. Why is the deal structured so much higher in years 1 and 3?
Well, again, it's the way that the structures are coming out with respect to the different uncertainties that I guess are perceived to be out there with respect to long-term future labor, but again, these are all just the intricacies of the deals.
So, I mean, is a lot of that, say, in the first year, signing bonuses so a player kind of protects himself that they get paid if there is a lockout?
No, there's only signing bonus in year one, and that is, that was, a thank you signing bonus for entering into, this type of an agreement and type of term. So you see those all over the place. There's no other signing bonus contained in any other year of the contract.
Okay, thank you.
Kevin, Paul Friesen, Winnipeg Sun. Just to follow up on Judy's question a little, is this becoming a standard now that agents will negotiate kind of around the potential of a work stoppage, or is it only maybe more high-profile players that get that luxury?
Again, I can't speak for everybody and certainly can't speak for, different negotiations, but, again, there's lots of different parameters that go into any type of a deal, whether it's short-term or long-term, and you negotiate what you feel comfortable with.
Kevin, obviously, Mike McIntyre again, obviously there's always risk when you sign anybody to a lengthy extension, but given Blake's age, were there any concerns at all about a five-year extension? I guess he'll be 33 when it kicks in.
Well, Blake is he's an extraordinary athlete. He's someone that you know, again, sets the bars, you know, each and every training camp with respect to fitness, you know, sets the bars each and every day at practice. You know, he's a driver of our team, and he's grown into that. And you know, Blake is an interesting individual in the sense that, you know, he wasn't one of those guys that started playing at 18 or 19 in the league. And you know, so I think the mileage on the odometer is probably a little different than the age on the clock. But, you know, obviously the way he trains, you know, him and Mark Scheifele, again, are cutting edge when it comes to that. And athletes these days, I think, are, you know, understanding their bodies a little more and are having that ability to play well into their 30s.
Kevin, Kelly Moore again from CJOB. If you can, just quantify what Blake's leadership means to this hockey club and the ripple effect having him around for another 6 years will have on some of the young people that you have now and are going to be bringing in, because I don't know whether you can put a price tag on that or not.
Well, it's, you know, again, it is hard to quantify. Price tags, you know, obviously, you know, you factor in a lot of things, but we're trying to put our best foot forward here. We're trying to follow up on a commitment that Mark Chipman and the ownership group made to this organization, this franchise, this city, that, you know, if and when we ever got a chance to build up an organization that could try to sustain itself for a while, that we would. And you know, this is it's a very competitive marketplace. You've got 31 teams in the National Hockey League, you know, competing for the same thing. And when you have a leader, an individual that is, you know, one, driven to be the best that he can be, but two, you know, driven by the same goals that, you know, that an organization is, and three, is a fantastic person that, you know, is a great part of the community. You know, that's kind of a win-win-win, you know, scenario. But first and foremost is what he does on the ice and how he helps pull every other player on the team into the fight and sets, you know, sets everything by example, you know, each and every day in practice.
Kevin, it's Paul Friesen again from the Sun. Blake talked about the you know, the window being open right now, and then he buys into that kind of theory. And given the cash, well, how would you describe the cash crunch, I guess, that you face? You want to be a sustainable competitor, but how would you describe, looking ahead to the next year, the cash crunch that you face as managing what you mentioned as a salary cap world?
Well, I think, you know, again, every organization that gets to this point, you know, you obviously have to, you know, manage that aspect of things. And you know, you have to do some projection. You have to do a lot of, you know, those different things. But it's not unique to the Winnipeg Jets. This is something that, you know, teams, you know, around the league, that once you become a cap team, you know, you hover around it, you know, for quite a while. And, you know, certainly, you know, for us right now, you know, we always have to be mindful of the performance bonuses that, you know, that are out there. And people may look and see, you know, look at our cap situation sitting here today and say, well, you know, they're X amount below the cap, but, you know, there is reality that, you know, again, you know, we paid over $4 million in performance bonuses last year, and there's no reason to think that, you know, the players, you know, that have those are not going to hit them again. You know, it's not something that you just put by the wayside. You're mindful of it each and every day.
Yeah, I'm not sure, Kevin, if you caught some of that, but
yeah. You know, so I guess, you know, I didn't quite hear all of it, but I think I got the gist of it here. Like, you know, there's you know, again, there's different ways, you know, that you have to do your business throughout the summer, and obviously, you know, it was a busy summer from an arbitration standpoint. You know, there's UFAs, there's RFAs with Arbrights and RFAs without Arbrights. So, you know, again, the busiest guy, I think, in the organization this summer was Larry Simmons with respect to, you know, all the things that that have to go on. You know, again, it's not something that when the season ends, you know, you get to put your feet up. This is you know, a 12-month year type of, you know, situation where, you know, the planning, you know, for what happened today, you know, started, you know, months and months and months ago, and vice versa moving forward here. You know, you must, you know, do, you know, your best in projection. And then everybody's different. Each contract, each person, each situation, you know, there's lots of different
details that are unique to every situation.
You had a long list, Jason. Again, you had a long list of summer to-dos, Kevin, and you got through most of it. It's just Comrie and Morrissey at this point. Do you envision that both those gentlemen will be at camp?
I'm envisioning that. For sure.
Paul Friesen again here at the Sun. Just to follow that up briefly, you did mention you anticipated handling Morrissey in short order, I think were your words. Would you expect that means by day one of camp you'll have him signed?
I would suspect so. Again, you know, we've had lots of conversations, with his agents throughout the summer, and with respect to our situation and how we have to look at it. So, show up to camp and we'll see how it goes.
Just one Kevin. Final one, Kevin, Mike McIntyre again. I know we haven't spoken to you since the arbitration, so just any comment on how that process went with Jacob Trouba, and you envision that being a distraction at all going forward for the franchise?
I don't understand really the question. We went through the arbitration process. It yielded a 1-year deal, and we had different discussions, with him throughout that course of time. But he's signed, ready, and looking forward to having a great season.
Hi, Kevin. It's Murat Attash from The Athletic. And my question goes back to Wheeler. Earlier today, he called himself a day one guy, and he wore that term with a lot of pride. I'm wondering, from your perspective, how important is it, or how proud would you be to be able to show the rest of the league that when it comes to guys like that, when you do have a Blake Wheeler, you will put the money there and you will sign a guy like that?
Well, again, this is the second time that Blake Wheeler and our organization have made commitments to each other. You know, last time, obviously, he was going into the last year of his RFA eligibility and would have been a pure UFA after one more year. And we obviously negotiated a 6-year deal at the time. So, I think quite honestly, the the dialogue about players not coming to Winnipeg or not wanting to be in Winnipeg, to me, that's just there now to fill your guys' notebooks because I don't think it's really even relevant anymore. We've built a franchise here that I think Winnipeg can be proud of. Certainly that I'm proud of, and as the last couple of players that have signed, to a man has said that they're proud to be a part of. So. I think you guys are going to have to maybe try to find some other things to fill your notebooks with.
It certainly seems that with that signing and with the acquisition of Paul Stastny through partway of last season, that the appetite is there to get big players, and when winning is a possibility to really make that push. Is this sort of the culmination? Did you envision this back at day one? Is this how you always sort of knew that you'd be projecting here in 2018?
Well, you can have your best projections and you can, go through that whole thing. But, one thing that I guess I'm extremely excited about and proud about is, just to see a player like Blake Wheeler, who, was part of this organization from day one, but to see where he has come from that day one to now, and to see the leader that he's, become, to see the father that he's become, to see, the community man that he's become. Like, this is Winnipeg. This is what it's all about, and this is what our franchise is. We've got a fantastic coach that guys like to play for, and we've earned nothing though here. Like and I think Blake will probably be the first guy to tell you that is that it's about work, and it's about getting ready to get back to the task at hand at winning game by game, and that's the only way you're truly successful as an organization. It's not about marketing campaigns. It's not about short-term gains and where you're at in November or December. It's earning that opportunity to keep on being talked about as a team that is good, and that's what our guys need to continue to prove on a daily basis.